Let's go to chapter 7 of book of John. Now in a couple of months, your children and your grandchildren will be out of school. Aren't you glad? Now many families will take a trip to family reunion. Did I hear somebody groaning? Yeah. Or the trip to the fun places around the country. With the children in the back seat, and all of a sudden you notice the back of your car is kind of slouching downward because your wife told you to load up everything, including kitchen sink. Finally, she was somewhat happy with her makeup and hair, her clothing. So before she changed her mind, off you go. And you barely got on the I-10. And your children start to holler at you from the backseat with that infamous question, Are we there yet? And then you, on the way to there, during that journey, you get the numerous kick on the back of your seat from the children and screaming and yelling, tattling on each other. And then, let's not forget that your wife's dead look when you are lost one more time. They look at you. And then, again, to make it matter worse, you just missed the stop sign. You got pulled over by a police officer, motor cop. They don't have an emotion. No, we don't have a motor cop in our fellowship, so I can talk about it. Anyway, you're getting a ticket, and your wife look at you with only the wife can give. You know what that means, husband, right? And you're thinking, I would love to go back home so I can have some rest from vacation.
In a minute, Jim Ho's going to show video from their summer vacations 20 years ago.
However, the thing is, it's not the time yet. The journey is still going. This morning that we get to hang around with Jesus as he was jeered at by his own earthly half-brothers for not showing off his power in Jerusalem and to the people in Israel and not letting them know what kinds of powerful person Jesus is, and they want them to know that Jesus is the one who can make things happen. Because they didn't believe in Jesus Christ as him as the Messiah. All they think about is, okay, this guy can, one of our brothers can perform a miracle. That's far as it went. We will learn what kinds of time Jesus was talking about and why he was so on schedule, if you will. Let's stop there and pray. Heavenly Father, your will, your time are important. As a matter of fact, your time is as important as your will. A lot of times we think about your will, but we don't think about your timing. It seems that we're always in a hurry, or we seems like always behind your time. Let us get to know your heart through your word, the Bible, that we may not only know your will, but also we know your time. That we may do everything according to your will, according to your time. That you alone receive glory. Father, we also pray for the President Obama and pray that he may come to know Jesus at whatever it takes. Whatever it takes to get his attention, personally, politically. And we pray for our troops' safety and the uniformed personnel, police officers, sheriff deputies, and federal agents, and firefighters. Especially, we're lifting up the one who attends our church, like Pastor Merrill, who is fighting against the wildfire, and the Border Patrol agent and the sheriff deputies. We're asking you to watch over them. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 7. After these things, note the word, those three words, after these things, Jesus walked in the Galilee. And for he did not want to walk in Judea because the Jews sought to kill him. In our Western mind, somehow we think that whatever happened at the end of chapter 6 and whatever happening in chapter 7 happened within a few days. Not so. We have to remember the book of John. It was not written to list all the things of Jesus in chronological order from the beginning to the end. Rather, John wrote events in an anthological way, which is a collage of selected events and speeches of Jesus to show who he was. Not in a chronological way, but anthological way. There is a 6-month gap, and within that word, after this thing, in that three words, there's a 6-month gap. And if you'd like to know what had happened during that time, you need to confer with Matthew chapter 15 through 18 and Mark chapter 7 through 9. There's all the events happened. And you may wonder, how do I get to know all these things? There is a way you can know. You go to the Google and type harmony of the Gospels. Harmony of the Gospels. Most likely you will find a blue letter Bible that I go often to study my Bible. Blue letter Bible has harmony of the gospel listing all the events mentioned in the four gospels in side by side in sequence from the birth of Jesus to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is a very valuable information that you like to do that, you like to have. As a matter of fact, you guys know that I teach gospels every year, 2 or 3 books after I finish. After this book, we're going to go to the book of Isaiah and then some other books, and then we're going to study the book of Acts. And we will do 2 or 3 books, and then we're going to study the harmony of the gospel of Jesus Christ, combining all 4 gospels from the beginning of the birth of Jesus to all the way through the end of the Jesus ministry on earth. It will be an interesting way to study. I think the New Living Translation have a better rendering regarding the walked in the gallery than New Living Translation has a better rendering than New King James Version. I will just post this 7:1 in New Living Translation. After this, Jesus stayed, instead of walked in Galilee, stayed in Galilee region and going from village to village. And he wanted to stay out of Judea where the Jewish leaders were plotting his death and so on. In Judea, including Jerusalem, there are plenty of people to grind the necks against God, against Jesus. In other words, they had Jesus on their crosshair. So let's go to verse 2, please. Now the Jews' feast of Tabernacle was at hand. His brothers therefore said to him, "Depart from here and go into Judea, that your disciples also may see the works that you are doing. For no one does anything in secret while he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world." For even his brother did not believe in him. Did you get that? His brothers did not believe in him. The Feast of Tabernacle is a joyous occasion. And remembering, they remember the back, how they traveled through the wilderness. They're remembering the journey through the wilderness. And also they are celebrating upcoming joyous kingdom with the Messiah. And during this feast, the Jews lived in the booths made with the tree branches. And they lived in that to remember how their ancestors lived in the wilderness. All Jewish men within the 20-mile radius around Jerusalem must attend. This is not if I have a time. It's not a volunteer base. Rather, it was more like a mandatory. And, of course, people from the outer region would come there, too. So population of Jerusalem would swell up to 2 to 3 million people at a time. Because of Jewish leaders wanted to kill him, and they thought Jesus would be at that feast, they were looking for him to kill him. And that's the reason why Jesus remained in the Galilee so far. Verse 3, in my opinion, verse 3 gives me a great deal of the information about these brothers. I chose three insights. Number one, Jesus had half brothers and sisters. Jesus had half brothers and sisters. According to Roman Catholics' doctrine, they insist that Mary remained a perpetual virgin until she died. Have you ever heard that? If you have a Catholic background, you would know this. I even checked this from their website. They even insist that brothers of Jesus were neither the sons of Mary nor the brothers of Jesus. In proper sense of the word, they were cousins or more or less close relatives of Jesus. In other words, those brothers and sisters are not really Jesus' brother. I don't see anywhere in the Bible that mention that they are not brothers. They have no biblical ground to come up with that doctrine. In other words, perpetual virgin of Mary is not correct doctrine. It's a false doctrine. Mary bore other children with Joseph as their natural father, according to Matthew chapter 13, 15:5 through 56. So Jesus would have been their half-brother. Let's go to 13:55, please. I want you to read it with your own eyes. Matthew 13:55. Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? These people, Israeli people speaking to one another. And his brothers, James, Jose, Simeon, and Judas. And his sisters are then not all with us? When then did this man get all these things? This happened in Nazareth. Second insight I found is that his half-brothers did not believe in him, as the text said. How would you like to have a perfect older brother? How would you like to have a perfect older brother? You know, while they were doing all the mischief, he didn't even sin once. It's like you're sharpening your devilish horn on your head and doing all the bad things. Your perfect brother, older brother, doing laundry, cleaning the house, making meals for mom, and doing chores. And while he's doing that, he's polishing his angelic halo. It's quite a comparison. And I'm sure they didn't care for him. Jesus' own brother were unbelievers at this time. Do you know what he tells me? Get this. Proximity is not a guarantee of spirituality. You get that? Proximity is not a guarantee of spirituality. Look at the Judas Iscariot. He was with Jesus day and night for 3 long years. But he became the foremost betrayer at his worst. Just because you are the son of the daughter and or the son or the daughter of a pastor or the cousin of an elder or friend of a church deacon, that does not give you a guarantee of your salvation to heaven. You get that? Jesus' brother's unbelief was already prophesied by King David in one of his Psalms. So Psalm 69, please. Psalm 69, verse 8. I have become a stranger to my brothers and an alien to my mother's children. King David, with the inspiration of God, he wrote it down. I'm sure that the Jesus' brother did not like him, nor did they care about his miracles. I don't believe that they were really concerned about his well-being. And I wouldn't be one bit surprised they secretly would enjoy if Jesus failed in the big city. In Mark, book of Mark, you will find Jesus' own family to take him back because they thought he was beside himself. This is the new King James would use beside himself. Another translation would say he was out of his mind. But later, after Jesus' resurrection, he appeared to them. From then on, they became the firm believer in Jesus Christ. James became the first pastor of the Jerusalem church, according to Acts 15, and he was the author of the book of James. And another brother of Jesus, Judas, by the way, that's a popular name, just like Jesus, during the time, he was known as a Jude. That's not, hey, Jude, it's just Jude, okay? Yeah, no, don't go there. He authored the book of Jude, and which is located right before the book of Revelation. Even though they are small, short books, they are very powerful, powerful books. By the way, just for you, go to the beginning of the James, please. James 1:1. This is how he starts. James, a half-brother of Jesus Christ. Is that how he started? No. Bond servant of Jesus Christ, God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was not bragging that he was somewhat related with his brother, half-brother Jesus. Rather, he simply said, bond servant of Jesus Christ. Right, humble attitude. Third insight I find from the verse 3 is the brother of Jesus had a world point of view. No doubt that Jesus' half-brother knew that multitude of Jesus' disciples departed him when he taught them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. In their mind, going up to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacle would be his opportunity to recoup his losses. I'm sure that you all remember that Satan offered the same kind of suggestion. Remember during the wilderness, temptation in the wilderness? If you just bow down to me, I will give you all this. He did that about 3 years ago at the beginning of the Jesus' earthly ministry. Their idea, the brother's idea, was that Jesus should go up to Jerusalem, make himself known, instead of hanging around in the little boondock like Galilee. It's like telling somebody, don't stay in Sararita, go to Los Angeles or New York. Make yourself known. Jesus already turned down the crowd's offer to make him king. He was not about to yield himself to the brother's urge in any way. Listen, celebrities might ride to success on the applause of crowds, but God's servants should know better. Jesus avoided all the publicity and fanfare. You with me? When the preacher starts to use the fanfare and publicity, that's time to bail out from that church. Now move down to verse 6, please. Then Jesus said to them, my time, would you note that time? My time has not yet come, but your time is always ready. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it. Its works are evil. You go up to this feast. I'm not going up to this feast, for my time has not yet fully come. I should note the word time. In Greek word, there are two words for time. One is chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S, chronos. And the other one is kairos. Kairos. And the one used in verse 6 is kairos. It's not necessarily a chronological sequence, but with a reference to the events take place in it. It commonly used to refer to harvest season, simply or known as a season. In other words, Jesus was not about to reveal the real reason and the purpose of his earthly visit as a man yet. It's not the season. Jesus waited for the harvest season, the right time. Because Jesus was completely submitted to the will of Father and timing of God, God the Father, then he was allowing him to be led by the God's Father's timeline. And for the Jesus' brother, any time is good because they were not submitting to him. Some people are notorious about being late. You know them, right? They are always late for class. They are always late for appointment. They are late for a meal. They are late for coming to church. And some of you are thinking, are you talking about me? Yeah, I am. And at their rate, probably they're going to be late for their own funeral. In Jesus' life, as well as our own, Father's timing is just as important as his will. Do you agree? Many stumble because they sense the God's will for them. They know the God's will for them, but they run ahead of God's time. And that's a sure recipe for the frustration. We don't want to run ahead of the Lord but only to be yanked back by God, nor do we want to be dragged behind the Lord because we meander around without paying attention to him. Last night I said to my wife, I like the word meandering. It just had the meaning, not only the meaning, it sounds like a guy who is doing nothing, walking around doing nothing, meandering. Go back to verse 7, please. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its works are evil. You know, the people of the world who are controlled by Satan, whether they know it or not, they spiritually do not hate unbelievers or carnal Christians because they are in the same devil's system. In other words, they are for each other. But Satan for a believer's case, it's a different thing. For the carnal people, unbelievers, carnal believers, Satan does not irritate them as long as they think that, the people think that they are in control of their own lives. But as I said, the followers of Jesus Christ, Satan treats them differently. Satan hates them and he cannot stand them. And he will do anything, and he did everything to harass them, to destroy the testimony of Jesus Christ from the first century till now. Situation hasn't changed a whole lot. The world, which consists of unbelievers and demonic forces, still hate Jesus Christ and his followers. Did you notice that? In one of the photos you saw in Kenya, Calvary Chapel, in Nairobi, did you notice one of the man's mouth was torn? Do you think he just beat himself for fun of it? No, Muslim tortured him. One of the pastor friends sent me the photos and the link to the YouTube. What our Christian brothers and sisters going through around the world. One of the believers I forgot where he was, he looked like a Thailand person. They threw him in the fire. His back was burned. Completely burned. Yet he didn't deny the name of Jesus Christ. Everybody has to call Jesus Savior and Judge. It's better for you to call him Savior now than Judge later. The world consists with unbelievers and demonic forces. They hate followers of Jesus Christ. Unbelievers don't like to be told that they are wrong. Isn't that true? And they don't want to be called evil. Nor do they want the godly people to have an easy life. They want their sin to be accepted by everybody, and they want the Christian to be tolerant with them, even though they are not tolerant with the truth of the Bible. The good example of this is the militant homosexual in America. It's okay for whole world to accept them as a special classified group. But when the people of God stand against their progressive behavior, do you know what they do? I'm sure you never heard this story before. I know this story. They walked into a cathedral, Catholic cathedral in New York, and in front of the altar, while the service is going on, they urinated on the altar. They don't know the shame, they don't have a shame, and they insist their perversive behavior should be allowed as they wish. Does media cover that kind of thing? No. If somebody hurt the homosexual, all of a sudden, you see the 12 media satellite van in front of that place. They want all the comments against the homosexual to be removed from the air, from the document and history. As a matter of fact, them and the Planned Parenthood want you, your children, your grandchildren to learn from second grade how to do the masturbation. This is the country we are living in. And how many, what's the percentage of the homosexual in America? 3%. And they are the loudest, squeakiest wheel. And the politicians who like to feel the air, current of the air, they stick their, wet their finger and put it out in the middle of the room and feel the air, where the wind is coming from. What they hear is homosexual agenda. Recently, Apple App Store pulled two applications off. They're Christian applications. One of them, known as Exodus app, to help the homosexual who got out from the homosexual life and to walk straight. Apple pulled it off because the homosexual made such a crazy remark about it. And some of you are thinking, oh, that because that's Apple. You think a PC is different? They are in Seattle. Hello. We are living in the world of homosexual, just like Sodom and Gomorrah. Am I against the people of homosexual? No, I'm not. As they are sinners, just like you, just like me. But what they're standing against God is the one I hate. And they want to make everybody to accept their thing as the truth. In these three verses, Jesus mentioned my time twice. What does he mean? What is his time? All the prophecies of Jesus in the Old Testament that start with Genesis chapter 3 to the birth of Jesus and all the other things in his earthly life point to one thing, which was the goal of Jesus on the earth: reconciling sinful humanity to God the Father through his own Son, atoning sacrifice on the cross and the resurrection from the grave. None could be done by the chance of a casual opportunity, but by the divine calendar predetermined by God the Father. Do you understand? That's why Jesus was so adamant about being on time. Anything else is not time yet. Verse 9. When he had said these things to them, he remained in Galilee. Verse 10. But when his brothers had gone up, then he also went up to the feast, not openly, but as it were, in secret. Some compares these two verses as if they caught Jesus in a lie. And they're thinking, aha, we caught you with the hands in the cookie jar. Jesus said he would not go publicly as to attract attention as his brother suggested. But he did not preclude himself from the going up privately. And he was not lying or being evasive. Rather, he was exercising sensible caution. Verse 11. Then the Jews sought him at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much complaining among the people concerning him. Some said he is good, and others said, no, on the contrary, he deceived the people. However, no one spoke openly of him to the fear of the Jews. As I said before, the Jews, when Apostle John says the Jews, he meant the Jewish leaders who lived in Jerusalem were attached to the temple ministry. They consisted with the Pharisees and chief priests, which are pretty much Sadducees, and scribes. This means these people differed theologically. They even hated each other. But they had one common goal, killing Jesus, hating Jesus. Their opposition to Jesus and determined to get rid of him. By the way, Pharisees believed, they are more orthodox Jews, and they believed in the resurrection, they believed in the angels. Sadducees did not believe in either one. That's why he said, you see. Okay, that's a corny joke. But the thing is, these people hate each other. They have different theology, different schools. One common theme. They are willing to kill a man. The exception with this is Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, whom we are going to meet at the end of the book. Listen, good man, listen to me. Good man does not walk around claim that he himself is God. If Jesus was a good man and normal man just like you and me, and he walked around saying, I am God, guess what? He's not a good man because he's lying. He's a mere man and telling everybody that he's a man. He's a God. He's lying. The liar, you know where the liar goes, Washington, D.C., right? The liar cannot be a good man. So either he's a God Almighty or a deceiver. I like the way the C.S. Lewis said, you must take a choice. Take your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool. You can spit at him, kill him for a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with us any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. Isn't that precise or what? I have three applications for you guys. Number one, proximity is not a guarantee of the spirituality. We cannot piggyback someone's spiritual status, but our own. Remember, when David took bagels and cheese, cream cheese, to his brother, because they were in the battlefield. And of course, on the other side, Goliath was waiting and taunting the Israeli troops. Come out and fight against me. And David said, is there not a cause of Israel? This is the army of God Almighty, and there is no one can go against this hidden Palestine. So the word got around, and Saul asked him to come to, told him to come to his tent. And David said, yes, I'm the one who killed a lion and bear when they tried to rob my father's ship. And I grabbed the beard with a hand and killed him. I don't know how he grabbed the lion's beard to kill him, but he did by the power of God, obviously. So the Saul gave him his armor. When he put this on, remember the Saul was the head and shoulder taller than everybody in Israel. He was good looking. Obviously, his armor was extra, extra large. And David was medium-sized kid. Armor was not fitting in. You know what I'm saying? You cannot get into somebody's spiritual status. You cannot piggyback somebody's spiritual status. You have to have your own. Proximity is not a guaranteed spiritual maturity. Second thing, we don't want to run ahead of the Lord only to be yanked back by Him. Nor do we want to be dragged behind the Lord because we meander around without paying attention to Him. Third application, God is never, never late. He's always on time. Heavenly Father, we thank you for knowing our heart. While your head is bowed, I'm prompted by the Spirit to ask you this. If you guys are struggling with the timing, God's timing, seems like He is millions of miles away. God told you something, but it seems like He's not answering. His time is so far away. If you are going through that battle, commotion and stress, raise your hand so I can pray with you, for you. God bless you, and God bless you, and God bless you. And God bless you. Okay. Heavenly Father, I lift up these brothers and sisters who are under stress, who have a frustration. First of all, we're asking you to give them wisdom that comes from you alone. Your word said if anyone lacking in wisdom, simply come and have a faith in you that you will give it to them liberally and it will be done according to your will. And asking you to give them peace in their heart. Remind them you are never, never late. You are always, always on time. Let them align themselves with your will, with your time. Doing about their own daily things until you move them, until you give them another assignment, one step at a time. Let them do the things fully and dutifully and promptly that they may prepared for the next assignment. Father, we're asking your peace and your comfort on these brothers and sisters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.